Well, good morning. It's a blessing that we can still all get together, the ones that are here. And as we've heard a lot already this morning about how Job's life, to walk uprightly and to eschew evil, and the integrity that he had in his heart, that's a challenge that all of us should have, to live that way. Let's just pray before we get into the message here. Heavenly Father, we do come to you this morning, and we are smaller in group this morning, Lord, but we do pray that you just watch over us. And Lord, we do also just thank you that we have your word, that we can come together and share and be blessed and share with one another, Lord, and encourage one another along life's way. Father, we do pray that you just, all the things we heard and already we can just take and let them go deep into our hearts and to grow thereby. Father, we do also just pray for Brother Stephen and Mervyn's and Joseph's and whoever else is in liberty, and Uriah's out there in Illinois. Lord, we ask that you just be with each one of them, guide them, give them a good day. And Father, we also do just think of all that's going on, and you know the Brother David, Melinda, and Japheth want to come down this afternoon flying. We ask you protect them and keep them safe, Lord, as they travel through the air. Father, we do pray that you just watch over each one of us now and give us a good day today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I'm just going to be open and honest before you and just say that you're probably wondering where I found time to prepare a message or whatever, but something I've been thinking about a little bit, but this morning I just had to think of all the preaching and all the teaching we've had. If you just stop and think, some of you younger children, you know, 3, 4, or 5 year olds, you know, it's been a couple of years, but us older ones and that have been Christians for a while, we've heard a lot of teaching already, preaching, different subjects and things. Where are we today in our walk with the Lord? And I can always think clearer, and seems like it if I get up early in the morning and just when everything else is quiet yet and just find a quiet spot and meditate on the Lord. I was flipping through my notes of one of the leadership seminars that we went, so I'm going to go a little bit off of that a little bit. It's about, a brother shared a little bit about the church. And so I was meditating on this and everything, and the Lord put a deep challenge in my heart, you know. We can talk about the church, and we can talk about how it should be and what it shouldn't be and this and that, and you can go on and on. But the challenge that God brought to my heart is, how's your home? How is it with you and your children? Yeah, I had to just think about that a little bit. Is that not a reflection? I'd like to throw this out as a challenge to each one of us, especially those that are married and have your own family and everything. The church, I think a reflection of the church is a reflection off of our homes. And that's a deep challenge to each one of us, is how is it in our homes? Is it appetizing? Is it attracting? Does it look good to the unbeliever? Is there something there that pulls them towards you? Or, you know, or is it the opposite? Is it distasteful? Is there strife? Is there unsettledness? Is there confusion? I think the two and two go really close together, the home and the church. But I was just blessed with just reading over some of these notes and then just my own thoughts a little bit, you know. is the church, and I had to think, I looked up the word church just out of curiosity, you know, what the dictionary says about a church. At first it said it's a building, it's a place where people get together. But then about the middle of the paragraph it was explaining that it's a group of Christians that have the same belief and the same goals. And I just let that think about that a little bit. Is that where we're at as a body of believer here at Grace Christian Fellowship? Do we have the same goals? Do we have the same vision? Are we a group of believers that want to work together? And the other thing is, we as a body of believers, we're individuals. Each one of you has your own personality. God gave you your personality. You have your own struggles. You have your own things you go through. And I always think the church will not be more than what we put into it, really. God can pour his blessing out upon it, and he can bring the fruits. He can increase, but it's what we put into the local body of believers that's going to make a big difference. And that's just I'm preaching this to myself. This is a challenge to stir me up again to remembrance. You know, what are we here for? Are we here just to go along on a ride? Are we here just to get together and have a good time socializing together and talking together and visiting? Or are we here to further the kingdom of God? And I'd like to read in Luke, the first chapter there, a couple things there. Just an interesting thing that, you know, in the Old Testament, Brother Jason shared this morning about Job there and the prosperity he had and everything. And now we get into the New Testament, and I'm just going to start reading in verse 5 there. Talks about John the Baptist. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abi, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. Does that ring a bell? What Brother Jason shared this morning about Job? Here's another couple. They walked before God in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. You could almost say they were perfect. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Or we could say he went into the church house or into the church to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. I believe this was a time of in history where things were starting to turn around, and God was starting to fulfill his promises about the coming Messiah. And it almost seems like there was a new stirring, a new beginning of the, which was in a new beginning of the New Testament. And here the angel of the Lord comes to Zacharias and tells him these things. And 17, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And this is a verse that often gets used, but I just want to bring the challenge with the, about the church. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know, the Lord wants to do great things here. He wants to save to the uttermost. But are our hearts prepared for that? Are we prepared for that? If the Lord wants to move like that. This was a prophecy that the angel was telling Zacharias about John the Baptist. But it's so beautiful to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That was the purpose of John the Baptist. He was going to be a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And this is what the angel was telling Zacharias what he's going to be. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Reminds us of Abraham and Sarah. They just thought it was impossible to have a child. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to shew thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that the things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Just a couple days here, just a couple thoughts. I'm sorry about that, but this person was standing on the right side of the altar talking to Zacharias, and he had fear. He had great fear. And he was wondering who this fellow is, you know. And then the angel answering said, I'm Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. Wouldn't that make you tremble? All of a sudden, Gabriel would be standing here, and he'd have a word for us here at Grace Christian Fellowship. Or talking to, you know. And Zacharias, he was like, you know, he was probably wondering, am I in a dream or what's going on, you know, is this real? And then Gabriel tells him that I stand in the presence of God. Can you imagine that? What awe would have come over you if you think this messenger came directly from heaven, directly beside the throne of God. And he came down here and wants to show me these things. But that was the prophecy of John the Baptist. And then he was supposed to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. So let's go over. And what a good thing is to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And, you know, seriously, we get busy in life, and sometimes we forget about this. I've often wondered, does this carry more weight than we realize? Maybe that we wake up Sunday mornings, we get ready and come to church, and our minds still might be full of the past week and all the things we want to do. And I wonder, does the Lord look down and say, is he ready to meet me? Is he ready to hear my word this morning? Yeah, I think, you know, truly, God wants us to prepare our hearts. And as we come here, to be open and to hear what he has for us to hear. I'm going to jump over in verses 67 through 80 in Luke 1. The angel told Zacharias that they're going to have a son. His name's going to be John. This all came to pass. In these 9 months that Elizabeth was pregnant with John, Mary came to Elizabeth for a time there, and the Holy Spirit moved Mary to prophesy to Elizabeth there, and then John was born and everything. And now in 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his shewing unto Israel. That prophecy there, I just had to think of it, that God and his, by his Holy Ghost, he caused Zacharias to say these words. But if you just read those words, it gives you a picture of rest. It gives you a picture of peace. It gives you a picture of, maybe I could say what Brother Jason was sharing about being perfect. Fulfilling, what was that? Fulfilling all the requirements that are around us. It just, when you think about that, what he prophesied, it feels like, or it seems like everything is fulfilled there. Everything's, you're satisfied. And that's the challenge that I have here today. Is that what the church here at Grace Christian Fellowship, is that what we portray? Is it satisfied? Is it fulfilled? Is the members, everyone, are they in tune with God? Says to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Is that what people, you know, is that what people, their minds go to when they think of Grace Christian Fellowship? I was just moved with this thought, where are we as a church? Is that what we're portraying? Says the church is Christ's burden, that there is a place for the evangelist to bring people into to be discipled. Is the church a testimony that is drawing, or a distaste of Israel to the world? Says it was 400 years since children heard a prophet when John the Baptist came on the scene. Begins to turn fathers' hearts to the children and children to fathers. The Lord will go before his people to give them knowledge of salvation. Repent, make straight the path, not crooked. Do we have a clear message of salvation here? Is it simple enough that any unbeliever can understand it? Or do we make it complicated? God is concerned about treating people right, not taking more than you should. And as I was thinking of the body of believers, just a little bit of testimony. Maybe I should save it for tonight, but you know, the love of Jesus has to start within each one of our hearts first before it can flow out to other people. And if it's not there, then I'm not saying this church, but I'm saying there's hundreds and thousands of churches scattered across the world. Is it a group of people that are, that might be stuck on a religion, but don't have the love of God? Or what is it? And, you know, even we come from all different backgrounds, different ones of us, you know. But I remember back when, well, I don't know, I probably shouldn't get into this, but from the age of 11 to 19, I didn't belong, or my family didn't really go to a church or anything. They were just at home. But there was a drawing effect. We visited a couple of churches over the years, you know, and different things. But there was something about it that I just never forgot about a church. And at the age of 19, then I asked my dad if I could go to the New Order church. And he actually gave the blessing to go. But not that... You know, sometimes in this day and age today, I think we take the church too lightly. It's so easy just to, if something's not quite right or if we get dissatisfied, we can just quickly move on. You know, there's plenty other churches out there where we can go to that satisfies what I'm looking for. But coming back to the challenge that I have is each one of us has a purpose and a place in the local body where you're at, to pour your heart into it, to do the best you can, to just to be there and just to, just be a blessing and let the Lord use you right where you're at. And that brings the love of God into your hearts, that you forget yourselves and you start looking out to others, and then the love of God can flow out to other people and be attractive. And you can bring him in and explain to him the way of salvation. And I do believe we are very blessed where we're at and everything. You know, we have some things that we've worked through already and different things like that. And there will be more things as life goes on, I'm sure. But can we have the love of God for each other? Can we strive for that? It comes only through Jesus Christ, that love, the true love, that we can share with our brothers and sisters and reach out to them. And one thing I was blessed yesterday was there at the store was this one couple. They come there quite often, and she just started talking to me there, and she said that, "I just want you to know that I'm praying every day for you all over here." And I was like, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah." She said that a couple of times I was here and I seen you up there working on the roof up there without any ropes attached to you or anything. And she said that really concerns me. So she said, "I made it a point in my prayer time to every day pray for you guys here at Four Corners that you'd be safe." And I was just so blessed to hear that. You know, we're busy going about things. We just do things and we don't think about it. Yet here's somebody secretly just, you know, praying for us, you know. And it does something to you when you hear things like that. That God the love of God can be shed abroad and can go out into all the world. And then my mind went to John 17. And Jesus was there and he was praying for his disciples. And he knew he was going to leave them. You can turn there if you want. I just like that chapter. I'm just going to read quite a bit of it there. And starting in verse 6, it says, I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou hast given them me, and they have kept thy word. Is that not the way of Jesus? Way back when he was with his disciples, he called men out of the world, and he called them to himself. And God gave them to Jesus, and he says, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou givest me are of thee. The disciples recognized that. Whatsoever we receive, whatsoever things that Jesus was, whatsoever things Jesus had was given to him from the Father. And so should we recognize that today in our lives. If we have gifts that further the kingdom of God, we should recognize they come from God or himself, not from ourselves. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. That was the Lord's, Jesus' heart was that the church is one, like Jesus and his Father were. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. I believe he was talking about Judas there. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And the challenge there is that where we're at? Is that where we find ourselves today? Are we of the world or are we not of the world? Here he's saying that the world hated the disciples because they were not of the world. And they hated Jesus too because he was not of this world. And he goes on, he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And I believe that's Jesus' prayer for us today too. That as long as God is not ready to take us home, he wants us to be in this world and to be a blessing right here where we're at. But what stands out to me too is that the disciples received the word of Jesus and they kept it. Where am I at today with that? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. I read that one already. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And he goes on, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Do we have the word of God? Do we have the word of truth? Do we keep it precious? Do we guard it? Do we share it? God wants us to share it with other people. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. You know, we can read through this and we probably don't even realize what the turmoil that the disciples were going through at this time. Because sometimes we just read through it and we just think, you know, it's a good word for us and everything. But You know, Jesus was trying to prepare the disciples to when he was going to depart. And he was praying for the disciples here. Then he goes on in verse 20. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." And I believe that comes all the way down to this day and age today. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Why do we want to be one? In the unity and the same spirit serving the Lord? "That the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Is that a testimony of our lives? The world can look on and they believe that Jesus came and died on the cross. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them." Jesus wants to give that glory over to us and his church. "That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Here Jesus is actually revealing to the disciples some of his personal life a little bit. The love that the Father had for Jesus. And then Jesus goes on, he says, "O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." And I was just, again, just challenged with that, the thoughts and the meditation there is, where am I with the Lord? Am I one like Jesus was with his Father? Do I have that relationship flowing between me and him? He's the one that died for us. He's the one that died for each one of you, for myself. What do we owe him but to serve him? With a servant's heart, Lord, use us to further thy kingdom. Use us as tools in your hands. Use us take the word of truth, to take it out to the world around us. But if we don't have that love of God burning in our hearts for our Savior, then it'll be so much harder to open our mouth and to share the love of God with other people. But it's just, to me it was just a real good challenge to me again that, you know, where am I with everything? Am I glorifying Christ Jesus, or am I glorifying myself? And it's just, I'm sure there's a lot more that you could talk about the church, but just down through the ages, you know, you think of all the, when the church started in Acts and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the day of Pentecost there, and that was the birth of the New Testament church, you know, you could say, and they were baptized with the Holy Ghost there and they spoke with tongues. And then we have the history all down through there, how the disciples went out and preached the gospel, and people were added to the church daily, and it just grew and multiplied. And then we know, as far as everybody else, you know, down through the ages and through the time of persecution, and then the separation started, you know, and different groups broke off of different groups, and it's just come down through that. But all that said, and everything in itself, where am I with the love of God? Is it flowing freely through my heart today? Or is it just stagnant or whatever? The true love of God, is it flowing out through me so that other people can see that? And the challenge to us here is as a group of believers, if we have that flowing amongst us and into each other and to the world around us, so we're concerned about other people more than ourselves and things like that, I think that's a blessing. If you just think of Jesus and his, the way he poured out his life when he was on this earth, he denied a lot of his own comforts just to keep preaching the word, and to those couple of short years that he had with his disciples and everything. You know, a lot of times he'd, you know, this is a deep challenge to myself. If we're up late some nights and everything, and the next morning comes around, a couple times we read of how Jesus woke up early or went off to a place by himself while it was yet, before it was day or before, you know, and then a couple times he prayed all night, you know. We have to work on that relationship as like that, you know. Oh, but it feels good to sleep a little bit longer, you know, and to rest a little bit more, you know. And I believe our bodies need enough rest so that we can function right. But it's just a deep challenge to me. How much am I really pouring my life into the local body here or reaching out, you know? Am I really doing all that God could use me to do, or could, is there so much more that he could use? So I'm just going to leave it with that and trust the Lord will add his blessing upon it. God bless you.